Regent Bell.
All right. I believe we have all five members of our committee present today, which includes Linda Ball, Dave Brinkley, Dr. Ernst, and David Porter and myself. As we can see from our meeting, that this is a time of great change and calls for great adaptation. I'm happy to be witness to all the adaptive leadership that we're hearing about today, and particularly from our president, but from everyone all the way down the line. After discussion with Provost Stevens, if there are no objections, I am going to trim our action items this afternoon from a total of 12 to just 4. I'm going to suggest that we do not discuss or have action on action items 1 through 5 and 7 through 9. And the reason for this, after discussion with Provost Stevens, is that the recommendations for these actions came through what really is has been the process up to the CAPE initiative, which we all participated in within the last year. The CAPE process, if you will, as the master plan was being described earlier in the meeting, the CAPE is sort of its version for the curriculum. And again, it is to promote student success. And as part of that, we feel like that there needs to be some further work done on these other action items, particularly with regard to some deeper analysis with regards to both prospective students and what will lead them to success, as well as the labor market. The ones that I will recommend we discuss and have action on today have done that, as you may have seen or noticed in the materials that were sent out to us. So my recommendation will be that we refer these other action items back to the programs and the departments for some further work and justification. Provost Stevens, would you like to make any comment regarding that? Provost Stevens with us?
She's got her microphone muted.
Unmute.
I was trying to unmute.
There we go.
Okay. She's in full fun.
Sure. You only sent these beautiful pictures to use in the background. I thought Cherry Blossoms was perfect.
Yeah.
I understand that we would like these program proposals to address the market for both prospective students and employment and possibly further study. We certainly want to ensure development of viable, sustainable, and a forward-looking portfolio of academic programs. To their credit, the departments, like you acknowledged, have used a process that we've used for a while that does not require any further analysis. And I wanted to acknowledge that. I wanted to also say that the Office of Academic Affairs has been working to develop a more thorough process that we would implement July 1st that includes a budget analysis and market need, and that aligns with SAC's accreditation requirements and CPE expectations. We know the CPE has been very concerned about the market value of programs, enough such that they contracted with Gray Associates to provide a platform for us to do that deep dive into these programs. So, knowing that, I'm agreeable to allow the departments and the program faculty the opportunity to provide additional relevant information and be re-reviewed using the expanded guidelines.
Okay. Well, thank you. And let me hasten to add that in no way should anybody interpret this as an infringement on academic decision making. No one is questioning our curriculum or the programs supporting that curriculum. But in the spirit of the new CAPE model, I feel like getting some more information will allow us to not only fulfill our fiduciary responsibilities, but also the changing societal expectations of higher education. So, with that being said, does anyone object from me eliminating action items 1 through 5 and 7 through 9 from the agenda?
I have a question. Provost Stevens, can you elaborate on the timeline you envision for this extra review for these programs if we do not basically strike them from the agenda today?
Well, if we implement the new guidelines, which, by the way, are very similar to what we've asked for transformation programs. It's the difference between what we requested for transform programs and new programs. I would think after July 1st, we'd give the departments of programs some time to prepare some updated materials, and then they could submit after July 1st using the new guidelines.
So that would mean that the earliest this could be implemented would be fall 21.
Correct.
It's a good question, Klaus. Thank you. If I don't hear any objections, then I would suggest that we move to action item 6, which is approval of citizenship and social justice undergraduate certificate. And Provost Stevens, I'll ask you to talk about that.
I have a representative from the department, although I'm not sure who it is.
Molly Kirby and Polly Drummond are both here from that department, so.
Thank you, Molly.
You're welcome.
Are you going to talk about it, or is Holly?
I don't know. I was waiting for Holly to chime in.
I can jump in here. So this program actually was a minor program, and it transitioned into the Department of Sociology and Criminology through the CAPE process. It was designated as transformed, and so we took a real critical look at what this program was. It has its origins in 2009 with the creation of the Center for Citizenship and Social Responsibility at that time. And so as an undergraduate curriculum committee, we actually approached the Department of Political Science to bring together a little more of a robust curriculum, emphasizing not just an emphasis on social justice via social movements and that sort of thing, but also engaging the political process through political campaign management and some opportunities for application through internships and practicums that emphasize co-curricular types of opportunities at the end of that experience. So we believe that in collaborating, bringing together these two departments and repairing this with a living learning community that we are rolling out this coming fall, that this really helps students build critical skills in empathetic listening on some very, some topics that are extremely relevant, but of course, individuals have different opinions on with regard to citizenship and social justice, in addition to a clear path of achieving or addressing some of these issues through either collective behavior and social movements or through the political process itself. So in essence, we have really reshaped the minor, come back through and change the course significantly. And because it is so heavily market-driven, we're suggesting creating a certificate and suspending the minor.
Okay. Any
questions from anyone for Holly or Provost Stevens?
I would like to say that I was impressed by the proposal. I think that Holly and her faculty did an excellent job of really thinking about what the engaged experiences are and internship opportunities would be as they prepared this program.
Thank you.
I couldn't help but think of our former faculty regent, Patty Minter, and I don't know if she had anything to do with this at all, but she has certainly been a champion for social justice, and would hope to find some things to like in this.
Certainly.
As much to like. Any questions or comments? If not, I'll entertain a motion.
So moved. Second.
I have a motion from Regent Brinkley and a second from Regent Ernst. Secretary Brinkley, I'll ask you to call the vote for us, please.
Thank you, sir. Regent Bale.
Aye.
Regent Ball.
Yes.
Regent Brinkley is yes. Regent Ernst.
Yes.
Regent Porter. Regent Porter, I did not hear your vote. Unmute yourself, sir.
There we go, David.
That's good. Yeah.
Thanks, sir. Chair Bale, AA6 carries with 5-0.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
I'm glad to know that Regent Porter isn't the only one that has to have his wife helping something. Beth, we saw it. We're going to move next to action item 10, which is approval of paralegal studies undergraduate certificate. Carlos Stevens.
I believe that Julie Shadoen, are you going to present that?
I can. I'll be happy to.
Okay, great.
Good afternoon, everyone. Thank you for allowing me to share my proposal with you today. As stated in the materials provided to you, traditionally the associate's degree has been entry-level degree required by most employers in our region. But according to the CAPE report that we submitted, that market trend is changing to a four-year degree prep. Currently, most of the students in the associate degree, which we have had traditionally and has been approved by the American Bar Association since 2001, those current students tend to be, at this point, second degree-seeking students. They are coming back to get better prepared for employment, to get hard skills, to go into the legal profession. So in a lot of our CAPE analysis, we surveyed the students, we surveyed employers, and we discovered that they could best be served by creating a more efficient certificate to tag on to their existing baccalaureate degrees. Providing a more affordable and a more efficient resource for workforce advancement or transition by eliminating a lot of the general education and non-legal course requirements that had traditionally resided in that associate degree. So this is a pre-professional certificate that combines legal theory and professional skills. It requires the completion of 15 hours of legal specialty core courses and 6 hours of legal specialty core electives. And we will seek ABA approval of this certificate if it is approved today by the board. I'll be happy to entertain any questions.
Any questions for Julie? If there are none, I will entertain a motion.
A move.
Second. I have a promotion from Bridget Ernst and a second from Bridget Frankley. Bridget Frankley, if you'll call the vote for us, please.
Thank you, sir. Chair Bale.
Aye.
Bowen.
Yes.
Bridget Ball.
Yes.
Bridget Frankley is yes. Bridget Ernst.
Yes.
Bridget Porter.
Yes.
Chair Bale. The yeses have it. It carries 5-0 on AA-10.
All right. Well, thank you very much. Let me also thank Julie Shad Owen for her work with the Faculty Senate. I believe she is still chairing that organization, and we appreciate all the efforts that you all do to make our university better.
Bridget Bale, since we have Chair Shad Owen here, let me add a little good news that last night the Faculty Senate, as I understand it, re-elected the entire slate of officers, including Julie, for next year as well. So we'll get to continue working with her. She's been a terrific partner, and I'm thankful for her good work and her friendship. Congratulations, Julie.
Thank you all.
Yes. Very good. All right. We have action item number 11, which involves approval for the Bachelor of Science in Environmental Sustainability and Geographic Studies. Bubba Stevens.
I believe this will be presented by Leslie North. Is that correct, Leslie?
I believe so. My Fred is still on here. Would you like to jump in?
Fred Sievers? Looks like it's all you.
Yeah, I'm just trying to unmute. No, I'm here.
Okay. Would you like to speak or would you like to say a few words?
I'll start it with a few words. This is Fred Sievers. I'm the chair of the Department of Geography and Geology. We work very actively with the CAPE process. We have a lot of transformation of our department. And I believe we have created some new programs, transformed our department. One of these programs is the one we're looking at today, which is the Environmental Sustainability and Geographic Studies. And what that does is combine some of our expertise in our department, focused on environmental issues, raises the profile of sustainability. We have the director of sustainability on our faculty, and Leslie Ward, who is here. And we also are highlighting our expertise in geographic information systems, which is a technology that is used in many sectors and is our number one job attractor for our students. So we're very excited about the students. It's a growth area in the department, and we're pleased to provide this or present this to you all. Leslie, do you have anything to add?
Yes, I will just add, as Fred said, this is really a combination of what was separate degree programs. And what we've realized, and again, looking at market analysis, speaking to employers, recent graduates, is that really the students coming out need to have a little bit about all of those different skill sets, which they were originally only getting in one of the degree programs, and they kind of had to identify themselves in something or not. With the new structure, they really can market themselves, and they can fit well into the skill sets that are required in the environmental field now. So we need students, when they're coming out, they need to be able to do geographic analysis through GIS. They need to be able to understand field-based techniques. They need to understand stats. They need to understand all of these different concepts, which, again, before were previously dealt within individual degree programs. So that was the first kind of impetus for this change. The other thing that we were able to change in this particular degree program is the previous programs required that students identify them with, again, a very kind of narrow concentration. But that just doesn't realistically work in the environmental field. It's extremely broad, and even if a person goes into one particular position, very quickly they will find themselves doing any number of tasks within the environmental field. So what we have kind of created is an elective structure so that there is a common core, but then students don't identify concentration. And instead, they will work individually with advisors to piece together this set of coursework through those electives that are going to help them get to their specific, you know, goal within that environmental field while still being exposed to all of those different skill sets that they would need to be successful in the long run. So we think that flexibility, when it helps for recruiting and retention, that is a unique strategy for WKU's environmentally related program. Other institutions don't have that same structure. They are still kind of on those rigid concentrations. And again, speaking to employers, recent alumni, looking at the market trends, we think this will fill in gaps that were not being met with the previous program or grants.
Okay, great presentation. Questions? Comments? Seems like this is a great example of what the PAPE process intended, and the fact that you're meeting both the student needs and attracting more students, it sounds like, as well as preparing them for what society is asking for and needing out there, which is a great example. So thank you very much.
Thank you.
Provost Stevens, any comments about that?
No, that, in, well, yes, I guess. In fact, how do I describe this, Leslie, an emotional process, because what we asked this department to do is really rethink their programs. It has a lot of programs, like Leslie described, individual programs that were very focused, and rethinking what that could look like as a combined program, I think, was very difficult. But they persisted and have come up with two, what I consider to be two, very viable and strong options. So, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Yes. Questions or comments from anyone? All right, if not, I will entertain a motion for action item number 11. I'll move. Have a motion from Bridge and Ernst. Do I hear a second?
Second.
A second from Regent Ball. Regent Brinkley, I'll ask you to call the vote, please.
Chair Bale?
Yes.
Regent Ball?
Yes.
Regent Brinkley is yes. Regent Ernst?
Yes.
Regent Porter?
Yes.
Thank you, sir. Chair Bale? AA11 carries.
Thank you very much. And our last action item.
Can I stop you right there before we go on?
Sure, Klaus.
I have a question about these programs which we did not take up. This is a question for the provost. So all of these programs have an implementation date of fall of 2020, and the departments and units timed it in such a way such that these programs could be offered in fall 2020. They have made their schedules for the next academic year to accommodate this, and they're currently probably trying to recruit students into these programs. And this is a very unusual step for us at the board level to actually pull an academic program. And so my question to you is, do you envision a review process which moves such that, for example, we could put these things back on, let's say in our May meeting, if the departments involved can actually demonstrate that that would be a benefit to enrollment in the fall, which is a very critical quantity for us. So by delaying this after July, basically, we're delaying this for a whole academic year. And I need to point out to the rest of you, there is an approval process in place which needs the department satisfied. And this approval process allows the dean to weigh in as well as the provost. And so these things came to us with the full understanding of the departments that this would be more or less a formality. And so is there any way you can envision a review process which allows these departments to still offer these programs in the fall?
As Regent Bale pointed out, these are unusual times. And as we've talked about in the cabinet meetings many, many mornings, our goal is flexibility. And as far as I'm concerned, yes, we can figure out if it can meet the standards for the expectation for the additional information, then I believe that we can continue the reviews and get them approved before the fall.
That would be wonderful. I very much appreciate it.
Regent Bale, could I also make a comment on Regent Ernst's comment? I think it's important. I certainly hope folks aren't recruiting into programs that aren't officially approved. I think that is a little iffy. But the other thing that I want to say is, I think that the fiduciary responsibility of the board is such that they've demonstrated that, number one, they're taking a very close look at the research that's going into these to make sure that we're not creating as an institution programs that will get us back to where we were before the CAPE process. And so I think that I'm appreciative that this was no rubber stamp, and I want to put that out there. I've heard that critique, and I think this is another example of that being nonsense. The other is, we should hold ourselves as academic leaders accountable for doing the research that's necessary to show that we've looked at these things empirically, that there's support for the programs, and that we know, because we've done the necessary research, that we're going to be successful. I also think that the time required to recruit someone into a program doesn't start now, which when the approval process would happen. That really begins next fall. And so I do think the timing of this is not awful, that we can be flexible and work together. But I think we got to raise the bar for ourselves as an institution and the expectation of what a program proposal looks like. That's the reason we went through CAPE. That's the reason we talked about in the empirical data that we need to support building new programs. And, my good faculty colleagues who talk about data-driven decision-making and having data to support decisions, I know they're going to be supportive of that as well. So, but I appreciate the flexibility of the provost, too.
Well, Tim, you know that I agree with everything you just said. These programs need to be self-sustaining. All I can say is these standards were not in place and these things moved up the chain without them. And so this is a very surprising development for these departments. I'm pretty sure that all the department heads would actually be sitting here at this meeting right now expecting fully that they were called upon. And so that's why I think trying to be fair should give them the opportunity to fix it.
Agreed. And I think we can get this done where we can have a robust recruitment strategy for all of them launching in the fall. I think it's perfect timing over the summer to get this done.
All right. Anyone else have comments? If not, I'm going to move to Action Item 12, which involves University Distinguished Professor Appointments. Provost Stevens, would you like to tell us about these two individuals?
Yes. The first, in alphabetical order, I should say, is Rodney King. Is Rodney here? Okay. Rodney King, Professor King, joined the biology department at WKU in 2002. He's known to be an excellent teacher and mentor, has developed rigorous and enjoyable courses in virology and microbial pathogenesis for both future clinicians and researchers. Rodney was a developer of a collaborative genomics and environmental science program funded by Howard Hughes Medical Institute that integrates research. Further, he routinely works closely with the Meehan Honors College and the Office of Scholar Development to assist students in their development and to successfully win competitive scholarships such as Goldwater, Fulbright, and Truman, and the NSF Graduate Research Fellowship, among them. Beyond that, he's considered to be a collegial faculty member and an all-around nice guy. Second is Professor Yvonne Petkus. who joined the art department in the year 2000. She was known to be a skilled teacher and an internationally celebrated artist, exhibiting her paintings in venues across the globe. Her work has garnered praise and won awards at jury shows across the country and abroad, and her service to her department, college, and university continues to be outstanding. Dr. Petkus demonstrates a commitment to reality and professionalism, and she is a person of sound judgment and character, creative, student-focused, and a colleague whose voice is respected and trusted. It's my pleasure to recommend both Professor Rodney King and Professor Duan Petkus for appointments as UPenn's University Distinguished Professor. Is he on here? Okay.
Okay, well, thank you. Anyone have any comments that they would like to make?
As a fellow faculty member, I know both of these individuals, and I can only echo what the provost said. These are both outstanding faculty members. The genome program is one of the premier programs we use at Hopkins College to engage undergraduates in research, and that program has been a tremendous success. They have probably student co-authors which are numbered in triple digits, so this is a wonderful program. So I highly recommend either one of them, but it's the highest honor the faculty member can get.
Thank you. Hearing about faculty members like that,
if I may, this is Bruce Shorbert.
Yeah.
Don't recognize me. I recognize my friend, but anyway. I was department head of biology for 10 years, and Rodney, just to echo what's already been said, is an outstanding biologist. He has served not only his college and department, but his profession. He has been an award winner through KAS, through the microbiology profession. So he's all around. And I'd also like to say that Yvonne Petkus is an extraordinary artist and has done a ton of things internationally and nationally that have brought the arts and sciences together, as has her department head who is sitting here as well. So it just proves the great collaborative nature of our university with these two individuals in receiving this award. And I'm thankful for the university doing this for these two.
Well, thank you, Bruce.
Regan Bale.
Anyone else?
Yes, I would like to speak for the UDPs as well. This is Christina Arnold, the Department Head of Art. And to echo what Dr. Schulte said, I've worked with Dr. King, actually, through the Brewing and Distilling Arts and Sciences program, and I thank him for his service there. And as the department head for Professor Petkus, I can say her colleagues love and respect her, as do her students. Multiple students, in reading through her documents, report that she not only changed their view about art, but their view on life. And so having somebody who's a mentor, who then keeps influencing you 10 years down the road, as some of our alumni have indicated as well, is the most powerful thing I think we aspire to be as teachers. And her work has been exhibited in two of the largest international art exhibitions, the Venice Biennale and Miami Basel. And so just to give her a shout out professionally as well, she's amazing, and I can think of two no more deserving people here.
Well, thank you very much. And let me say how wonderful it is to have faculty members at our meetings like this and weighing in. It means a lot to all of us to hear directly from people like you. So thank you very much. And really, it is people like this that set Western apart. And it's easier for me to say it, having not gone to Western and having been to a large research university. I don't think I got the education that people at Western get. I really don't. You have faculty all over our campus who really do get engaged with students and know them personally, and that's something special. Anyone else have any comments? All right, I'll entertain a motion.
So moved.
Second. Motion and a second for approval of action item 12. Regent Brinkley, if you will call the vote for me, please.
Chairman Bale.
Yes.
Regent Ball.
Yes.
Regent Brinkley is yes. Regent Ernst.
Yes.
And Regent Porter.
Yes.
Chairman Bale, 8-12 passes 5-0.
Thank you very much. And Chairman Higdon, that concludes the business of the Academic Affairs Committee.
Thank you, Chairman Bale. I thank the members. The next committee is the Executive Committee. All members are present. That's Regent Bale, Regent McKinney, Regent Henson, and myself. We have no action items today, but a couple of information items. So we call on Jennifer Smith to give her our first item regarding 2020 state relations update.
Hey, good afternoon. Can everybody see me? There we go. Okay, so the General Assembly adjourned last Wednesday night on the 15th. It was definitely a very interesting legislative session because we went from a commission session to nobody around on the Capitol. So it was made it a little more difficult to have some of those conversations in the Capitol, but we managed fairly well. So, you know, during the even number of years of a budget session, this year was very strange in the fact that the General Assembly passed a 1-year budget. They did that obviously because of the COVID-19 situation that we're dealing with now, and not knowing really where the economy is going to be in the next few or 4 years. So for us, for all of higher education, it left our state appropriation flat, which is good. They did not add any additional funds to performance, so the performance fund stays as it was in that flat as well. They did not include any funding for the resurgence fund, which was the asset preservation match what we were looking for. So we do not have that. They froze our KDRS and FERC contribution rate at the current rate of 49%. We had talked earlier in the year about the possibility that going anywhere from 80% to 93%, I think it was. So that to say at 49 is very helpful. They kept money in the budget for the MandoNet. So that remained at $750,000. And then there was an increase in the funding for the Gatton Academy. And so the GAC Academy increase was an additional $486,700. And so my understanding is they did that for the cut that the GAC Academy has taken in the past to get them back up to the level to be able to enroll those 200 students. Have been able to get the full 200 with some of the cuts that the GAC Academy has taken from the state in the past. And then one thing that I got some more information on last night, all the universities had been working with Chairman Tipton for the budget review subcommittee chair about the amount that we can charge for dual credit. And so that originally was a different bill. They stripped that part out and they came back in and put in the budget that we can now charge 40% of the KCCPX rate when we were, I believe, only being able to charge a third. So that will help with those costs associated with dual credit. Okay, so the next bill that passed that made these changes for us is Senate Bill 243. This is one that started out as a pension bill, but it was going to change our contribution rate. What they ended up doing at the end is they stripped that bill and changed it to what hospital went from special session was the bill that gives us the opportunity to cease participation from the ERS. That those deadlines were approaching, and we were supposed to start making some decisions this month as to whether or not we were going to remain in the ERS. So they have pushed all those deadlines. The deadline now for universities is January 1st, 2021. So we have a little bit more time to review and make the determination. So those are the two main pieces of legislation that have an effect on universities. Looking at next year, just to give you all an idea, obviously we're now, but this is on your budget, we're now going to be doing three consecutive budget years, basically. So next year, because it is a non, that the short sessions are non-budgetary years, anytime they make any changes with appropriations in a non-budget year, they have to have a supermajority in both chambers. So that means 60 votes in the House and 23 in the Senate. So just so everyone is aware of what we're looking at for next year when we are out there, you know, advocating for the sector of our budget, that's what people see. Yeah, that. So, I think that was pretty much the high points. President,
do you
have anything to add?
I do not, except for this, that I'm thankful both for the leadership in the legislature and of the governor, that even in a tight budget time, we managed to keep the budget flat. Certainly, there's uncertainty around revenues, but I'm buoyed by the fact that they built this budget around a $130 million decline in state revenues. And so let's be hopeful that they're as accurate as they can be. We will be watching closely those revenue estimates as they come through during the year, but appreciate both the state legislature and the governor for keeping us flat and giving us some more flexibility around pension.
Before I see if anyone has any questions, I want to give kudos again to Jennifer and to our president. They were 110% engaged in the legislative process and did a remarkable job of representing the university in Frankfort. And I think much political capital was secured by their efforts. Any regents have any questions of Jennifer? Hearing none, then we'll move to the second information item, Regent Brinkley.
Chair Hagan, we do not have a formal report. We lost a member of the ad hoc committee when Jennifer Miller resigned. So she was named on that committee instead of her role, but as her name, I'm going to ask the chair if he will appoint a replacement member for Jennifer Miller to this committee, and we will have a full report in the May meeting.
Regent Brinkley had reached out to me with the departure of Jennifer Miller. She was named to the committee as a representative of the Staff Senate. She served in the capacity of chair. I would like to recommend to the regents that we replace Jennifer with the new Staff Senate chair, which is Mike Lofton. Is there any objections to Mike Lofton fulfilling the term or the role of a designee to the ad hoc committee? Hearing no objections, I will appoint Mike Lofton and ask Julia McDonald if he will join somehow in coordinating with David Brinkley on getting the good news out to Mike Lofton. I see Julia shaking her head. We've come to the end of our formal agenda. Before we wrap up, I'd like to kind of go around the Zoom room and ask our individual board members if they have any comment or item they want to bring up, and we'll do it in alphabetical order. Anything from Regent Bale?
Well, as has already been said, I'd like to thank everybody. I think Lester is well positioned. Again, if you reflect back on the hard work of the last 3 years, both in terms of budget and curriculum and strategy, Western is positioned as well as anybody can be in these changing times. And oddly enough, I'm optimistic going forward. I think we're seeing some results already in terms of student recruitment, and we've definitely seen some results in retention. And the storm's not over, but I think we're dealing with it quite well.
Thank you, sir. Regent Ball.
I would just like to commend President Cavone, faculty, staff, everyone for such a good job during this crisis, and I would like to say stay safe, everyone.
Thank you. Thank you, Regent Ball. Regent Brinkley.
Really is a unique part of our organization with real specific requirements related to the Federal Communications Commission, news operation. I really appreciate the approach that President Cavone took, naming the task force, and also the flexibility he gave some of us in adapting that language and enhancing it as we needed for specific requirements related to social distancing and some of the other odd occurrences that happen within a television and radio organization. And also through that, just very quickly compliment the partnership with UK Athletics related to the recent content we've been able to help them put out.
Partnership with who?
Sorry, with WKU Athletics. I was honestly looking at something on my screen and saw a problem there. I think the Regent Bale's blue shirt. And that's being recorded too. I want to thank Todd.
They don't make red on.
Anyway, everybody's been great. It's been a very difficult transitional process, and the leadership from IT and everyone else on the task force as well has been tremendous. Susan has been wonderful. Everybody that I've worked with throughout this process has been very gracious and kind, and has really, really stuck with it. So thank you all.
Thank you, Regent Brinkley. Regent Ernst. Regent Ernst, you got to turn your mic on.
My bad. Well, for many of you, this may have been your first Zoom meeting, so you are now familiar with the environment at which we conduct classes, and you can feel firsthand that this is not quite the same as being in somebody's eyes face-to-face. I was quite paranoid that, when you suddenly have thousands of students nationwide or hundreds of thousands going to such a system that the whole thing would collapse. But it did not. So I'm very grateful for that. I'm very grateful for IT to give us the resources to make this work.
Thank you, Regent Ernst. Regent Harris.
Yeah, I'd just like to echo those same sentiments as everyone has already said. Obviously, I'm in a little different situation than everyone as a student. And this has been a challenging transition, but it's definitely taught me a lot, and I've got to take a lot out of it. I still have my internship on for the summer, although it might just be virtually. And there's, a lot going on, but it's definitely great seeing each and every one of you today and having this meeting virtually. I've really enjoyed hearing everything, staying updated, and I hope to be back on campus and classes soon, because this online learning isn't quite cut out for me, and President Cavone mentioned it earlier, but I am definitely one of those students that is ready to be back in the classroom, even though I might not have never thought I'd say that out loud.
Thank you. Regent Henson.
I just wanted to say great job, everybody, and go Tops.
and stay safe.
Regent Henson, that may be a record. in a good way.
Hagen Bale, you need to behave yourself.
Regent McKinney.
I have nothing additional this time.
Thank you. My appreciation to Regent McKinney over the last week or so, as he was in the throes of wrapping up his busiest season, we collaborated almost daily in matters of budget and finance, along with the President and Susan, and I'm very appreciative of his time and commitment to this university, as all of you give time and commitment to this university. Regent Porter?
Well, I want to thank and have positive reports that we've heard from Pine North, that President Caboni and the faculty and the staff have done, and all the regents have participated.
Thank you. I'd like to give a kudos out to Julia McDonald, who's our right hand, and all the work she's done, and especially over the last few days in coordinating our Zoom meeting, what she does day in and day out. And a thank you to the IT staff that's here today that have shepherded us through this process, and it's basically been flawless. And so a great Zoom meeting by everyone. Thanks a lot. We'll wrap things up by saying thank you, be safe, and let's get back to normal as quick as we can. We are adjourned.
You are.
That is brutal.
Yeah. I've been doing that.
Yeah, all day.
It's awesome. Look at that run in there.
Yeah, you can't. You start off manually, right?
Yeah.
No, I mean, cool person.
So you can even hear Casey texting me. He's like, why are you saying I'm so much? Like, because I haven't talked in public there, in two,
this,
in
four, yeah, that's six. Zoom reported that it'll be.
It's because it's
that. And then they've been mine.
All right, I get to go to Zoom. You come to change location. Well, get the Cornelius Martin region.
Oh, jump me a couple times. Oh, froze.
Do it, and then a media availability.
Also, via Zoom.
Yes,
but the only audio that I noticed.
All right, Ray. Thank you. I appreciate you. It's been. It came together.
Yeah. Let me know.
I will.
Otherwise, I think. Yeah. Other than that,
I'll be.
6 feet.
No, I think we're, yeah.
Wash your hands.
I talked
about it. I got, just in case, I don't have ones. I had to make my own.
No. Okay, it's the shop we had yesterday.
Great.
So,
I might be going to the liquor store this afternoon. I want to make sure I didn't make it by soon.
Oh, we don't run out of liquor.
Provisions.
It had made it dark in here because it is nice day out. But the glare from those windows, you all would look like shadows or silhouettes. Mr. Porter kept it interesting anyway with his.
That's good.
That's the textbook. This is not the appropriate angle for.
Yeah.
We got a good look at his ceiling though.
And he was just randomly moving.
But he was the first one that logged in today, too.
Right?
Yeah,
person.
He was. Yeah. Mm.
All right.
You didn't get a text from Lincoln?
No.
You said, principal, I voted no on the first day. Next month, it's on the fourth day. I was talking about it.
Well, you know, to deal with, he had a deal with Susan, but if he did that, he would vote yes. Well, and she asked, she said something, she said, you know, we had a deal. We did that. Thank you very much.
Thank you, guys. You'll be safe.
Thanks, Anthony.
Oh, I stopped paying attention about 20 minutes ago.